Boom. And we especially welcome our visitors, and we hope you come back and worship with us each and every opportunity you may have. We want to remind everyone that our Wednesday night service will be at 7 o'clock, and this will be our fifth Wednesday, so it will be singing. So be sure to be ready and have your hot tea ready, and so that you can have your voices ready for these song leaders. Tonight, our those who will serve will be Will Simpson will be directing the singing. Michael Dees will have opening prayer, and Ryan Simpson will have our closing prayer. We want to congratulate Gradden and Brooke Grady for the addition of Ellie Audrey Grady, born Tuesday, weighing 7 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 inches long. Mo and Joyce are the proud grandparents. We also want to congratulate Bob and Ginger Simpson with the addition of Cal Guyton Simpson, born on Christmas Day in Franklin, Tennessee, weighing 10 pounds, 2 ounces. And the parents are Jacob and Abby Simpson. And what wonderful blessings those two are. We want to continue to pray for Joab Hopper. Miss Ann Hopper passed away this morning. We don't know what the funeral arrangements will be, but we'll be notified on Remind once we know what those arrangements are. We also want to keep Miss Gail Winter and Don Moody in our prayers as they remain at the Tippecanoe Rehab and Health facility. And I have some announcements to read. Rex Grisham's sister, Jean Grisham Farrar, her husband, Doug, is in the North Mississippi Medical Center awaiting brain surgery on Tuesday morning. So please remember that family. Doug fell and was taken to one hospital. They didn't know what it was. He got to Tupelo and they diagnosed him with a brain tumor. So please keep him and Miss Jean in your prayers for, and as well as the doctors who will be treating him. We have a note from Miss Abby Simmons, Beach Hill. Thank you so much for the care package filled with cards and goodies. I enjoyed reading every note and appreciate everyone's love and thoughtfulness towards me during the holidays. I'm so blessed to call Beach Hill my home. Miss Natalie Grisham wrote, I want to thank my church family for the beautiful fruit basket. I enjoyed the singing of Christmas carols so much and enjoyed seeing the smiling faces of our youth. We have a good group of thoughtful young people. I appreciate all of you thinking of me. I miss you and I love you, Natalie Grisham. James Dees sent us an email. I want to thank the whole congregation of Beach Hill for the awesome Christmas care package y'all sent me. The gifts and cards were a wonderful reminder of how much everyone cares about me. It's hard to express in words how it feels to know that I haven't been forgotten by you all. I hope everyone has had an amazing Christmas, and I pray you all have a wonderful year to come. Thanks for keeping me in your thoughts and prayers. I look forward to seeing you all when I come visit again. May Christ be with you all this new year. James Dees. We want to remember Miss Sandra Wilkerson, who was with us this morning. She had two stents on Tuesday. And of course, she is recovering, trying to regain her strength for open heart surgery. So please keep her in your prayers. We want to remember the family of Jimmy Hill, who passed away and was buried on Wednesday. Our sympathies expressed to Jeff Green because Mr. Hill is his uncle. Mr. Andrew Carter sent us a thank you note. Thank you for the delicious Christmas fruit basket and to all who came and sang the beautiful Christmas carols. Your visit made my day very special. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all. Andrew Carter. We also sorrow in the loss of Ted Lindgren, who departed this life on the 20th of December. He was 83 years of age. He and his wife, Karen, had served as missionaries in Southeast Asia since 1969. She passed away in 2004. Continuing in the gospel work until his death, Brother Ted focused his efforts on Laos, Cambodia, and the Philippines. For many years, the Beach Hill Church has helped to support his work. Please remember that family. There are also copies of the new shower groups and food groups posted on the bulletin boards in the East and West halls. Please check those and see which team you were on. If you would, please get a hymnal and look at our boards as Will Simpson comes and leads us in song.
Number 876. Sing the first and last verse, 876. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Psalm before our prayer this evening will be number 602. Let's sing all three verses of 602.
There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? No night is there, no sorrow, no death and no decay, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. O Zion, Zion, when long thy face to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? Within its pearly portals, angelic armies sing, with glorified immortals, the praises of its King. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee?
Yeah, bow with me as we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for this beautiful day that we've had. We thank you for the holiday season that you've given us and the hope of eternal life through your son, Jesus, and the birth of him and the season of giving, Lord. And we pray that we will continue to do these acts each and every day that would be pleasing unto you. We pray at this time, Lord, for the ones that have been mentioned that are sick and unable to be with us. Please be with the caretakers and the doctors that are overseeing these ones. And we pray that time in the near future, they will be able to return and be with us to worship. We pray for the ones that have lost loved ones, and may you comfort them only as you know how. Please give them the hope of that they need to go through these times and deal with their grief. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to pray at this time for our missionaries here and abroad. We pray that we will be able to help them in the many ways that they are in need most, both spiritually and materially, and support them that they will be able to spread thy word that others may hear and be able to believe and be saved someday. We pray for the ones that are teachers here and leaders, that they will be able to teach that and be examples that our Christian lights might shine on our youth, and they may be able to see this, and especially, Lord, be able to understand the great gift of giving, that it's more blessed to give than it is receive. We pray at this time, Lord, that you will forgive us when we fail you in sin, and please wash away these awful sins at this time, and please go with us on through this night and through future days, and when time is no more, please give us a home in heaven with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Song before the lesson this evening will be number 537. Sing the first and last verse, 537.
Oh, thou blessed rock of ages, trusting now, dear Lord, in thee, keep me till my journey's ended, till thy blessed face I see. Hide me, O blessed rock of ages, till thy blessed face I see. When the storm around me rages, rock of ages, hide thou me. When my journey is completed, and there's no more work to do, Savior, guide my weary spirit. Happy land beyond the blue, hide me, O blessed rock of ages, till thy blessed face I see. When the storm around me rages, rock of ages, hide thou me.
Our invitation song will be number 465. First and last verse, 465.
We are indeed grateful that tonight we could sing these comforting words of faith and hope. And we're grateful for the very fine manner in which men have led us in worship in the services today, both this morning and this evening. Would you open your New Testaments to the Epistle to the Hebrews in the 12th chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, and the first three verses of that chapter. It wasn't too long ago, I believe earlier this month, that one of our men read this passage as a scripture reading in the worship service that morning. And we had given some attention in a lesson some while back, I don't remember how long ago it was, to these verses, some brief attention to it, and I'd like to give some further attention to this word of encouragement tonight. First, let us have the text before us. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that hath endured such hostility of sinners against himself, that you do not become weary, fainting or losing heart in your souls. The imagery that is presented in this exhortation would have been well known in the world of this writer. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 and other places in his writings enjoyed using athletic imagery as he was guided by the Spirit to use those figures of speech to paint pictures, to teach spiritual lessons. Athletics was important to the people of the world in which he circulated, and he was well aware of that and had some familiarity with it. And here we have an athletic image that is set before us of an arena, a race course, and witnesses, a cloud of witnesses. This terminology, a cloud of people, is used in other ancient writings as a figure of speech, as a way of speaking of people that testify to something or who are witnesses or spectators to something. And here it is a reference to what we have in chapter 11, to the fact that there is a host of people who by their lives and their faithfulness to God in response to his word bear witness to the power and the value of faith. And so they're witnesses in that sense. They're not witnesses of our lives. They're not spectators of our lives, but they're giving testimony by their lives to the importance of faith in God. I have never had the experience of being down on a field and be able to look up at a crowd of 100,000 people. And the way this is pictured for us through television broadcasts doesn't really convey the immensity of such a powerful scene that must be to the athletes on that field to look up and see that many people who are indeed spectators of them and of what they're doing on the field. But there's in this picture that Paul is using here, a sense of the idea of power that we ought to realize as Christians who are on the course of life, to think about all these people that we can consider. We can look up, as it were, and see all these people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Abel and Enoch and Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Moses' parents, Sarah, and Joseph and others that he draws our attention to back in chapter 11 and many, many others who are not named. He said, the time would fail me if I went on to tell about these, some he names, and others. So they bear witness to, they testify to the value and the reward of trusting in God and living by that faith in God, which was our subject this morning, the life of faith in God. We're looking at this word of encouragement tonight. It's an encouragement for perseverance in this way of life and for faithfulness. And he gives us this encouragement by causing us to look at certain things and looking at them to think about them. And then draws our attention to how those thoughts should affect our thoughts and our conduct to encourage perseverance in this course of life, which is the Christian life. So we have this great cloud of witnesses around us, and we've spoken already of how they are witnesses, and we consider them. We study their examples in the Bible, and we are to draw lessons from that encourage and strengthen and guide our faith. God intends those examples for that purpose. Secondarily, but also importantly, we also know examples by our own experience in life and by other people's experience whom we know, who have told us about other people in our own times, or we have read about such people, our brothers and sisters, in other places and other generations, and their faithfulness and what they had to endure and their perseverance. And all we have to do in an audience like this is to look about us or to think about those who are here tonight and on other occasions without embarrassing anybody by staring at them. And we can think about how their examples of perseverance have been an inspiration to us. And this is a great blessing for us, not just when we assemble, but all the time, to think about our brothers and sisters in this congregation or nearby or in some other place, people whom we know their lives, and we know how they are an examples, an inspiration to us about enduring in the way of faith in God, whatever we experience, to endure and persevere in trusting and obeying God. He draws our attention then to the race that he says is before us. It is a course that has already been prepared. And as we said in an earlier study, we don't make this way. It's already there for us. What we do is we follow this way. And therefore, we are encouraged in this. Let us do this. And let us fulfill the requirements of following this way, running this race, being on this course to the finish. And the requirements of it, he mentions in terms of the athletic imagery again, laying aside the weight, any kind of impediment. But then immediately it takes on the spiritual note and the sin, which would easily ensnare us, whatever that would be for any person, that is required of us, that we lay it aside, that we put it away, because it could endanger us and our possibility of success in running this race and finishing the course. And we must run it. We must run the race. The word translated run here is a word that also is the source of our word trek. So there is a course to follow all the way to the finish, and we must make every step of it in order to reach the finish, whenever that may come for any one of us. We must be involved, engaged in that run, that trek, until we can go no further in our mortal lives. But as long as we are in that way, then whenever it is a finish for us, then we have finished the course. And so Paul could write in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, I have finished the course. He was near the end of his life and he knew it. Not that he had done everything he would like to do, and if God gave him more life, he would keep on serving and doing and accomplishing more. But the end of his life was near at hand, and he was aware of that. And so the course was finished for him, because his life was just about at its finish. He had remained in the way, and to it he had been faithful, and he had fought the good fight. Paul is speaking of the fight, the course, and the way that the Lord has prepared for us. And so then in this, he had been faithful and persevered, and he's one of those in this great cloud of witnesses. And then he wants us to think also about Jesus, to focus on Jesus. Observe that in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. And the verb that Paul, or rather the writer here uses, whether it's Paul or someone else, the verb he uses here is a verb that means you take your vision and you turn it towards something. And so we're easily diverted in life to various interests. We can be momentarily distracted, and sometimes the distraction leads to a lingering look and interest that takes us away from what's important or from what is right. And so this word is well-chosen word, and his readers would immediately understood what it meant. So, but we have to explain it as it is in English. And so it means just that. It means to get your attention turned toward Jesus and fixed on him. Because here is the main one that's going to be the example and the inspiration for us for endurance, looking to Jesus. And he is the author and perfecter this faith. Author means originator, and perfecter means one who completed it. He began it and he finished it. And so we look to him. He knows more about it than anybody else. He's the maker of this way, and he is himself the way, the truth, and the life. And so we look to him, and what do we find? We find joy, great joy. Even the experience of such a horrible thing as the cross, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And Jesus focused his own mind on results, the good that would come from the experience of his suffering, the reward of that, not just personally in returning to the Father and knowing in close communion with the Father again in heaven, the experience of that eternal love, but to see the reward in the lives of many, many people for whom he would become the ransom, their redemption, the joy that he would find, we hope, in our own lives, in our faith and devotion to him, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The shame of that death he did not allow to overcome him, to overpower him, and to weaken him. But rather, he focused his mind upon the joy of what the results would be. And that's an example for us, you see. That's why he says to us, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus's example of focusing on the results that you want to see occur in your own life and in the lives of other people by the grace of God through his Son. And therefore, there are many things we can endure. We can endure a lot of hard things for the good of ourselves and the good of other people by the grace and the mercy of God. So there is this focus upon Jesus. And then he would have us to look at Jesus even more closely because of the lessons of endurance. Observe that in verse 3. He says, consider him. And this word consider here is a different word than the word found in verse 2. This word means to concentrate on. It means to get your meditation engaged in thinking about Jesus and studying his example. And that will be richly rewarded in itself, but there will be spiritual rewards in your life and for the good of others on whom you have influence. So consider him that endured such hostility. The word for hostility here in the older translations, gainsaying, meant to speak against, but it came to mean more broadly any kind of hostility. And certainly they spoke against Jesus before and during his dying, but that was only the verbal expression of all their hostility against him. And he endured that as the Son of God. He endured that because, again, the good that could come as a result of it. And this too is for us an example that we may not become weary and give up, lose heart in our souls. The writer had said back in chapter 10, verse 35, cast not away therefore your boldness, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then in chapter 11, in verse 6, he said, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing to God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek after him. God is, and God rewards his people who live their lives in seeking him, seeking after God. So again, that is that life of faith in God and the example of Jesus who trusted in the Father. Behold, I will put my trust in him, as is quoted in Hebrews chapter 2 from Isaiah 8 and verse 17, speaking of Jesus, an example of this faith in God brings its reward and hence the encouragement. Whatever we may encounter on the course of the Christian life, this race that we are to run, we will find that Jesus has already prepared the way for us, that we may endure it and go onward. That lesson is implied in all that he's saying here. He's speaking of that which we can count on as we run this race. And we will not come to any experience in this life to which we may answer God by saying, you didn't tell me that this could happen, and I don't know what to do, and there's no help for me. Because Jesus's example says, oh yes, there is help. And there is a way through, and there's a way through this by trusting in God and keep going forward. When we focus on Jesus and study his life in the light of the guidance we receive in this text, another thing that we see is how much God loves us and how greatly he cares about our lives. That in his Son, whom he sent to this world and experienced all that he experienced for our good, he has given us not only this way that we may follow to life eternal, but the encouragement and power of Jesus' example of love for us and how we may live this way successfully and follow it all the way to the end and to its reward. This evening, I want to say to you that with all confidence, with not a shred of doubt about it, that what is portrayed for us in this word of encouragement is an expression of the way of life that is the only way that's going to reach that reward of God. And that there is such a way is something for which we ought to be thankful. And we ought to be an encouragement to one another in that way. But we want you, if you've not yet responded to this gospel of Jesus Christ, to do so tonight with faith in him and confession of that faith, with a heart, a mind that will turn to God in repentance to be baptized in the name of his blessed Son for the forgiveness of your sins, for which we encourage you with this song of invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
If there are one or more present here this evening that hasn't had the opportunity to partake the Lord's Supper, it's been left prepared across the hall to my right. You may be dismissed at this time, and someone will be there to assist you. Our closing song will be number 144. Sing the first verse only.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.
Let's pray. Our God, we're thankful for today, the blessings of this whole day, being able to be in Bible class and then to worship and then again to assemble tonight. We're thankful for this last Lord's Day of this year. As we think through all the events and ups and downs and the uncertainties, we're very thankful and we're humbled that you've brought us to this point through another year, a year of things that troubled us and continue to with sicknesses and other things, but what has remained constant is your love and your care for us and, of course, your word and the direction that it gives us and the lessons that we've heard today and tonight. have encouraged us to look at ourselves and reevaluate where we are going and how devoted we are to you. And we pray that we'll be people of reflection, always thinking about where we can improve and what we could do better, and where we could step up and who we could help. Father, we pray that we live lives pleasing to you. We pray very much for the people that have lost loved ones that are very sad at this time. We pray for them. We pray for ways that we could reach out and help and comfort them. We know you love them, and we know that they're on your minds and you're hurting with them. Please give them comfort. We are so excited about the birth, though. From birth to death, you were with us. And with the birth of these young people and families, and it brings smiles and hope and reveals your great wonder. We're so thankful for that blessing of life and young people. And you've blessed us all, this congregation, with so many. We love them, and we pray that we're examples that we should be. Be with us as we leave this place. Help us to be soldiers, to be strong, to be confident, be faithful to you and your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.